We had a great blessing last night.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
The blessing gave us exactly what we needed, and I know God's given him a message for the hour already.
Amen.
And again, there's no concern about whether or not he's going to be compromised. We know what side he's on. Amen.
Amen.
He's been faithful through the fight, and he's going to be faithful until the end. For sure, Brother Hudson, he'll make your way up here. Y'all stand. Let's give him a good one.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, you'll find the text in Habakkuk, the Old Testament. You'll be seated. You'll find the text in Habakkuk. And I'm glad to be here. It's been a blessing. And I'm really in a turmoil. When right when church started, Tennessee and Mississippi State are tied, and it's in overtime. And I don't know if they won or lost. And boy, I'm telling you, it's bothering me. But if they lost and you tell me it's going to make it worse, so just don't say anything about it till after the service. But I want to help you tonight. I appreciate the warm welcome that I've had here. I never preached here before, and I've been in Oklahoma several times preaching. But it's an honor to get to be here, and you people are hospitable people, and I thank the Lord for that. I was preaching in Claudeville, Virginia. That's up in the Blue Ridge Mountains. At Trinity Baptist Church in Claudeville, Virginia. And I got there early. I like to get to church early. And I was sitting where the preacher's boy was sitting. And two elderly women came in. They were there early too. It was about probably 20 minutes till the time church start. And the preacher hadn't even got there yet. And two elderly women came in. And they must have learned to whisper in a sawmill with a helicopter running over top of them. Because one of them leaned to the other and said, "My Lord, what a head on somebody." And she was whispering, you know. And I thought, unreal, did I just hear that, you know. I know I'm fat. Fat people know they're fat. But and the other one tried to whisper, and she said, "Yeah, look at that pack of hot dogs on the back of his neck." Making fun of my rolls on my neck, you know. And man, I just kind of took it, and I was preaching out of Samuel over there where the Bible said, "And David went on and grew." And the first point was David went on past public's evaluation because his brother Eliab told him, you know, "We know why you're here." And I said, you know, if you're going to serve God at any length of time, you got to get past what people say about you. And those two ladies acting so spirit-filled sitting back there, they was about to row behind y'all. And I said, I got here early tonight, and one of them, they was making fun of how big my head was. And boy, their eyes got big. They didn't think I could hear them. And face turned red, and I said, yeah. One of them said, "Lord, what a head on somebody." And the other one said, "Look at that pack of hot dogs on the back of his neck." Boy, they was about to pass out. And then I said, and one of them said, "If that head was on the hog, it'd bring $40 more at the stockyard." And she said, "I didn't say that. Now, I didn't say that." And she gave herself away, praise God. And but I appreciate y'all welcoming me here. And I'm a coon hunter, and I've got several places people won't let me hunt. Brandon said I'd come hunt down there at his place and got a good place to coon hunt. But now Georgia's playing. I hate to be so carnal. Y'all pray I can get spiritual. But Georgia's playing Alabama, and I want Alabama to beat Georgia so bad. So I may stay back and watch football tonight. I don't know, but I'm going to try to help you. I tell you this, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Sometimes people can't hear, you know. I preach up in Chicago, Illinois, in third world countries like that, and I usually need an interpreter when I go up there. But y'all, I heard about one fellow's coming through town, and he got pulled over, and he is with his wife. He's sitting there, and the policeman walked up and said, "Let me see your operator's license." And his wife hollered over and said, "What'd he say?" And he said, "He wants to see my operator's license." And so he showed him to him. And he said, "Well, sir," said, you understand you were exceeding the speed limit by 40 miles an hour. You came through here traveling 60-something miles in a 20-mile-hour zone. So you flying." She said, "What did he say?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I was exceeding the speed limit, you know, a whole lot." And he's looking at the license, and the policeman said, "I notice here that you're from over in Seminole, Oklahoma." And he said, "The ugliest woman I know lives in Seminole." She said, "What did he say?" And he said, "He knows you real good." Y'all laugh now. Praise God. Yeah, that'll help you a little bit. Well, amen. Are y'all okay? Habakkuk chapter 3. There's three chapters here. And it's a two-way conversation between a weary prophet and God Almighty himself. Now, not every prophet writes with two-way conversations. But this particular prophet was venting with God about what was going on around him. Now, I'm just going to tell you before I read the text, I feel much like the prophet of old. He writes in verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16, y'all found it, say, I. When I heard, my belly trembled. Now, he's upset because God had not exercised judgment on the nation of Israel in their rebellious, their distance from God, and his long suffering was exercised. Let me parenthetically just say right here, y'all work it listed. Don't ever mistake the long suffering and mercy of God for forgetfulness. The mills of God's justice may grind slowly, but they'll be grinding. Be sure your sin will find you out. And you can't do wrong and get by with judgment's not preached much anymore. All we hear about is deliverance and forgiveness, but there's judgment. If God's a just God, he's a holy God. And so they were plummeting into apostasy and apathy, and nothing was being done, but God was assuring his prophet that I'm going to judge him. And if you read the previous verses, verse 13, 14, 15, he's given details of how he's going to exercise judgment. And so when the prophet heard it, he said, my belly trembled and my lips quivered at the voice, and rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself. And noticed his request, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Our Heavenly Father, I stand where the arm of flesh has failed me, and I know it can fail. And so I yield myself to you the best way I know how, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. It's my desire to please you. And I pray you give me backbone tonight to say everything I ought to say. But then I ask for discernment and wisdom not to say anything that wouldn't bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, to exhort these saints to go further. We realize that the sun is setting on this age of grace. And just any day we're going to hear a trumpet sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we're going to be caught up with the Lord. But until then, you've given us a task. And it's overwhelming to think about what you've called us to do into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Lord, I pray you'd help us not to grow weary in well-doing. The promise is, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so help us to gain hold of that tonight. Let us leave these walls determined to make a difference in 21st century humanity. And may long live old-time religion till you come again. Amen. I want to draw your attention to that phrase that he says in verse 16, that I might rest in the day of trouble. And I want you to underline it and look at it if you have a habit of scoring in your Bible. And notice what he didn't say. He didn't say that I might rest from trouble. He's already stated in this text that trouble was coming. Judgment's coming. And judgment is as sure as the ticking of the clock and the turn of the calendar page. It's coming. And you can't do wrong and get by with it. I've learned this in my weariness, my spiritual fatigue, that I've preached it all my life, that you can't do wrong and get by. But let me tell you this, sometimes you can't do right and get by. You say, what are you talking about? Well, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Doing right will cost you. A preacher that preaches the Bible straight without apology, it's going to cost him some meetings. It's going to cost him some friendships. It'll cost him some church members. And it'll cost you relationships when you stand for God. And so we're weary. And I tell you, if you serve God with any intensity, y'all wake up now. I know it's Saturday night. If you serve God with any kind of intensity, it's going to wear on you. And we don't have an option but to serve him and labor. Wherefore we labor, though the absent or present, we may be accepted of him. We're laborers together with God. The Bible tells us in Galatians 6, verse 6, 7, 8, 9, the Bible said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he'll of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit reap life everlasting. So let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The prophet wrote, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, God's ways are not always man's ways. That word wait upon the Lord, we would think in modern English that's a term of anticipation. But really it's a term of service. If you go to the right restaurant, there's a waitress. There's a waiter. They're there to serve you. They're there to wait. And it's a paradox. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You mean if I serve, I'm going to get revival? That's what it says. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The parallel of the New Testament is, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is a harness that takes the power and transfers it. It's a picture of labor. It's harness. It's like a collar in Hames and trace chase for a mule. And that yoke, he said, my yoke, take my yoke upon you. And then he said, learn of me. The hardest discipline of all is study. That's why doctors make more than we make. Somebody help me. I'm not a socialist. I want a doctor to make more than I make. Everybody okay? And learn of me. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he said, you shall find rest for your souls. A burden is light. Just the connotation of a burden. It gives you a picture of something heavy. Y'all still with me? That's an oxymoron. That's like saying my fat skinny. My stank smells good. But God's ways are not our ways. Neither is ways our thoughts our thoughts. And so we would think to get rest in this day of trouble, and we're in trouble. You don't have to look far to know, man, the church is in trouble. Our families are in trouble. Amen. This nation, man, is in trouble. Trump, I voted for him, but he's not the answer to all our problems. You're naive if you think that. I'm telling you, we're in a mess. And trouble's at every hand. But if we're going to find rest, we got to do it God's way. It's not what you think. Some people think, well, if I can go on a Southern Gospel cruise, or if I can take 2 weeks off of a vacation, when you get back, the grass is going to be high. You still got to cut it. Amen. Your rebellious teenager will have some, you know, dress will be shorter. Somebody help me. It's just going to get worse when you ignore your problem and look the other way. There's no fixing. There's no recovery there. You can find rest God's way. God has a way. I got, with the help of the Lord, I probably could quote 15 or 20 more proof texts. Wherefore we labor. We're to absent or present that we may be accepted of Him. I want the approval of God in my life. We can't quit. You got to keep on keeping on.
Yes, sir.
And so Habakkuk had a burden on him. He had a weight on him. Turn to chapter 1, and I believe we can find a step-by-step prescription of how to find spiritual rest. Now, Mama, you need it.
Good.
Daddy, you need it. Papa, you need it.
Amen.
Mama, you need it. These teenagers need spiritual rest. Not quit, not throw in the towel, not retirement. No. We're to go even to the ends of the age, going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And the age ain't over. The sun's setting on this age of grace, but it's not through. It's not through to the last trump of God sounds. And so we got labor to do. But how can we find rest in the day of trouble? How can we become revived? Look at chapter 1. I want you to see it. The burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. First thing I believe in our step to recovery, and I'm talking about spiritual renewal and recovery, is a divine burden. Everybody's going to be under some kind of burden. But it's different when you tote the burden God gives you. Because my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. And if you'll take my burden on you, you'll find rest for your soul. The prophet of old had a burden that God gave him. Now understand, this burden was an annoying burden. The Bible said in verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out of thee unto violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me all this iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass, they surround about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Yeah. Now look at me. He said, this injustice in society is bothering me.
Yeah.
Abortion.
Yeah.
That's murder.
Yeah, that's right.
That bothers me.
Yeah.
Amen. Legalizing marijuana and drugs. That bothers me. Yeah. The sale of alcohol bothers me.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, same-sex marriage bothers me. I'm burdened about people who may be in here tonight who the things of the world do not bother you anymore. Work it listening. Hey, I'm talking about it don't bother you no more to see it. It ought to annoy you what you see going on in society. It ought to really bother you when you see our nation plummeting. Who ever heard of transgender? Look at me. I know y'all ain't going to like it, but I come in here to preach. And a while ago, I drank a 6-ounce glass. I don't care what you think, and it's just now kicking in, praise God. Hey, people like that are mentally ill. They don't even need to be working in public.
Right.
You can't trust somebody like that.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Yeah,
and the last 5 or 6 assassinations and mass shootings been with some of those kind of people.
Right.
It wasn't Independent Baptist did it. Somebody help me.
Right.
Don't bow your head. I'm not ready to pray yet. I'm just getting started.
Yeah.
It bothers me that it don't bother you anymore.
Right. Yeah.
I pastor a church and I'll preach against sin and some of them done got used to it. They're comfortable in it.
Right.
They're getting used to the dark.
Right. Yep.
Man, it ought to bother us what we see going on.
Oh, yeah.
It ought to annoy us.
Yeah.
He said, how long are you going to let this go on that the law is slacked? I mean, if you get to the right kind of lawyer, what are all these people getting off? I'm still ticked off about them Epstein files.
Right.
And I voted for Trump. Is everybody okay? Where did they just all of a sudden go to? I feel like preaching a little bit.
Yeah.
Stuff like that bothers me.
Yeah.
Get by with. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. O.J. Simpson was as guilty as Billy the Kid. Somebody help me now. And got a good lawyer and got off, but God got even with him. Somebody help me. Help me, Brandon. I'm preaching, so you'll help me a little bit, praise God. Hey, man, y'all listening at me? I'm talking about, does it bother you anymore? You know why you're so weary? Because you've done got the mindset of the world.
Yeah.
The Bible said the wicked are tossed to and fro. He said there is no rest for the wicked. When we get that kind of mindset, God ain't going to let a saved person rest who starts siding with the world. Don't expect everybody to like you if you're going to stand for God. Until you learn to walk a long, you won't walk for long. You've got to learn to stand, having done all to stand. We're living a day of apostasy. Like never before, a great falling away. Somebody over here in Oklahoma's got to stand. Somebody right over here, praise God, in this county, Pittsburgh County, going to have to stand for God, whether it costs them or not. And the best way to do it and not to fall out, not to grow weary, amen, in well-doing, is that we get under the right burden. Because you're going to have to tote something. You're going to tote guilt. That's why we got so much psychobabble in churches.
Yeah.
Bunch of, all the time, preachers counseling. What you need is, you don't need a bunch of counseling. You need a devil preached out of you. That's what you need. Amen, friend. Somebody said, do y'all have Awanas? I said, no, because I want to preach on Sunday morning, I want to preach on Sunday night, and I want to preach on Wednesday night. Is everybody okay? When the world in its wisdom knew not God. Hey, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
But we need to understand there's some things that are wrong.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You get to siding with God, there's refreshment with that. You line up with God against the world. I'm telling you, there's an ally on the inside named the Holy Ghost, praise God. And He sheds His love abroad. And He bears witness that we are the sons of God. Hey, friend, it doesn't bother you anymore. Something wrong?
Yeah. That's good.
I can't stand at these bunch of flag burners. They ain't going to do that around me. I'm not going to go to a ball game and somebody wear a cap on their head when we're saying the pledge. We had a friend day, and my insurance agent came, and I was preaching on love that Sunday. And after the service, he came back and said, "Brother Hudson, we need to talk. We need to up your coverage." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Your personal coverage said you're going to get sued." And I listen, if I see somebody wearing their hat backwards during the national anthem, I'm knocking it off. I got $2 million worth of coverage for stuff like that. Is everybody okay? They can come bail me out, do what they want to. I just call the deacons. Is everybody listening to me? I don't call a bondsman. I'll call the deacons. I'll knock his hat off his head and then dare him to go get his mama. Somebody say amen. Amen. You take your hat off.
That's right.
Man, I'm American by birth and Southern by the grace of God. Somebody say amen. Hey, neighbor, something's wrong when it don't bother you. You done got wore out by the world, your problem. There's an awareness. There's an annoyance. But praise God, in verse 5, there was an assurance. Are y'all okay? Some of y'all looking like, you know, can he preach? I'm looking at, can you handle it when we get down to it in a minute, praise God. This is all introduction. Behold ye among the heathen. He said, now, Habakkuk, he said, preacher, prophet, I ain't through. Now all you're seeing is what's getting by. All you're seeing is the infractions, the iniquities, the sins of the people. But listen, I'm well aware of what's going on. God said, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days that ye will not believe will be told you. He said, just give me time, I'm not through.
Right.
Let me help y'all. Yes. Yeah. We're bad about trying to push God to do something when we want it done.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Yes, sir.
Bible said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understandings, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Right.
We're going to have to trust God.
Yeah.
He'll exercise judgment when the time comes.
Right.
And he'll work a work. I'm telling you what's happening now to give me assurance in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, as we just said Sunday morning. Man, praise God, gave an invitation. People walked down the aisle, got saved.
Yeah.
Amen. The waters of baptism are still being stirred.
Amen.
I mean, praise God, lives are being changed.
Amen.
It's not over yet.
Right.
Amen. It's not time to quit. It's not time to throw in a towel.
Yeah, right.
If you just get under the right kind of a divine burden, care about God's stuff.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Worry about God's things.
Yeah.
Let that become to consume you.
Yes,
well, I tell you what, there's refreshment that accompanies that.
Amen.
Notice, number one, a divine burden. Number two, and we're hurrying, there's a dictated book. In chapter 2, in verse 2, the Lord answered and said unto me. Now, he'd done been venting again in the previous verses, but the Lord said, now hold up. That's in the originals right there. That hold up, that's in the ancient Masoretic text right there. He said, hold up, write the vision and make it plain upon the temples that he may run that readeth it. We're talking about refreshment. That he may run. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it shall surely come and will not tarry. Now he's talking about open vision and a limited communication with God Almighty. He's talking about these three chapters that he's going to dictate to him. But there's a bigger picture, and that's called the Holy Writ.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 66, 39 Old Testament, 27 New. They're all given by inspiration to God and are profitable. Amen. Psalms 119, 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servants loveth it.
Amen.
Man, I love this Bible.
Amen.
And when you get down, you young people, young ladies, young men, teenagers, listen, you got to get in this book.
Amen.
It's bread.
That's right.
It's a refreshing book.
Yes.
When you're down,
that's right,
and when you're hungry, and when you're thirsty, the Bible said it's water. Second Peter said, as a newborn babe desires a sin-similar glory, that he may grow thereby. Praise God, it's milk. It's meat. Paul said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babe, because you can't have the meat, but it is meat. It's bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something to help you get in this book. And this is not just some cliche that preachers say. You've got to get in this book, friend. You got to meditate there and day. But this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It's like chewing. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. An old cow chews her cud. She's got several stomachs. If you look at cows sitting in the shade, middle of the day in the summer, they find some tree, some bush to get under. And they'll be over there. They're not grazing. They'll be standing or laying. And in a minute they'll burp up a little more. They're digesting. It's in their mouth. This book also shall not depart of thy mouth. I'm going to tell you something about the Bible. You need to be real particular about it.
Come on now. Come on. Preach it.
I'm particular about what I eat.
Yeah.
You can tell that. I mean, when I drink a Coca-Cola, I don't drink that watered down Coca-Cola.
Come on now. Come on.
You're not going to give me no zero Coke. And I don't drink Coke out of a can, ma'am.
Come on now.
You may say it's the same. You say it's the same exact chemical makeup out of a can as in a bottle. I beg to differ with you, ma'am. It's not the same. Them 12-ounce Mexicans, they're stout. But them little 8-ounce Coke bottles, listen, you take a Coke in a can and just open it and say, tsh. Am I right? But you take an opener and take the cap off of a bottle of Coke and a mushroom cloud hovers over the top of that thing. And when you drink it and burp, your eyes water and your nose burns. Somebody say amen. You know why? Because it's the real thing. It's the original formula. I'm not going to be satisfied with some watered down version. I'm going to stay with this authorized Bible. Amen. I'd probably offend most of y'all if I come to your house because we don't eat instant potatoes where I come from. I don't even believe in that. Listen, we'd vote you out of the church for that. Old riders, we don't do that. I remember my daughter, Terry, my second daughter, we went into Kentucky Fried Chicken, and that's a religious shrine in Tennessee. Kentucky Fried Chicken, that's holy. We went in there, and my daughter, Terry, said, I said, what are you doing? She said, Daddy, they got instant potatoes. I said, don't say things like that. God will kill you. This is the Kentucky Fried Chicken, man. You don't say instant potatoes in here. I said, what do you? And she said, Daddy, I can smell them. They ain't real. And man, I went up to the manager and I said, my daughter's been smoking something. I don't know where she got it. If she's off, man, she's taking something and she's over here talking about, let me ask you something, sir. Are y'all's potatoes real or instant? And the manager went, and I said, don't tell me anymore, sir. Stop right there. I don't want to know the truth. Somebody help me. I don't want to know the truth, man. Just lie to me because I got to eat this chicken. Amen, friend. But I don't want to know. I want potatoes peeled and then boiled down good. And I want a stick of butter and a shake of salt and pepper and a can of pet milk put over in it. And then I want it mashed. Somebody help me.
Yeah, sir.
I don't want no instant nothing. I want the real thing. When I drink coffee, don't give me decaf. What's wrong with you? Sir, if you drink... Listen, I drink that coffee so stout when you pour it out, it does push-ups on the ground, man. When I drink milk, I don't want no purple top or no pink top. Look at me, man. If you're drinking purple top, your wife runs your home. You roost on a bedpost at night. Well, I like red top milk, sir. I like the real thing. It says whole milk. I don't want part of it. I want the whole milk. Amen. And when I want my Bible, give it to me straight, friend. Don't water it down. Hey, don't mess with it. It's fine like it is. Hey, give me that Bible straight. Give it to me straight. Give it to me straight. Don't settle for anything else. You get that old weak watered down stuff? Amen. No wonder these boys ain't got no strength in them. Can't work. Who ever heard eating cereal in the morning? Cereal. You need eggs.
Amen.
I told y'all breakfast is my favorite meal and lunch and supper's my other two. Somebody help me. Man, you need bacon. You need a loaf of toast. Hey man, a pan of biscuits. You don't. What cereal? No wonder these old boys is looking anemic. Y'all okay? We're trying to get by on something watered down.
Yes,
amen. Amen. We're going to have to. You want some rest. Man, you've got to have a dictated book.
Yeah.
It's refreshing. It's relevant.
Yeah.
This book is ancient, sir.
Yeah.
It's forever settled. This book didn't just come. This thing is forever settled in heaven. It's impeccable. It's indestructible. It's indispensable.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's inspired.
Amen.
It is old, but it ain't wore out. I've been preaching for that book at Middle Tennessee Baptist Church for 35 years. I pastored 4 years before that.
Amen.
I've been traveling as the Lord opens doors across this country preaching. Hey, listen, same book.
Yeah.
It still works.
Yeah.
It ain't law. Hey, praise God. I mean, it's alive.
Yeah.
It's quick. That means it lives. It's sharp. It's powerful.
Yeah.
A sword divides.
Yes, sir.
You want some refreshment? It'll divide you. It'll divide wrong from right. A sword defends.
Yeah.
A sword will defend your home, Brandon.
Right.
If you keep that sword, it'll defend them boys. It'll help them boys. It defeats the enemy.
Oh, right.
It's one of those weapons of warfare. It's our only offensive weapon in Ephesians chapter 6.
That's
the sword
right.
of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel better about what I'm preaching right now, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Hey, you want some rest? You better get in this book.
Yes,
and with the help of the Lord, I probably could quote more scriptures and say a little more right there, but I got a lot of points coming up. And some of y'all getting real nervous. Y'all want me to shut her down now. And looky, you're in a coma. Amen? There's a deliberate beckoning in chapter 3. If you want some refreshment, well, you got to ask for it.
That's right.
This is what he said in chapter 3, verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk. He said, O Lord, I've heard thy speech and I was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. You know what you need? You need some prayer. Matthew 18:19, and again I say unto you, if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask it, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen.
Yeah.
Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh the door shall be open.
That's right.
We've been so plagued with charismatic doctrine in our churches.
Yeah.
With that John Hageyism. And all that TBN stuff.
Yeah.
We almost to the point we believe name it and claim it. That's not Bible, sir.
Those
Pentecostal preachers tell you if you ask twice that you didn't believe the first time. Only problem with that, they ain't got no Bible for that.
Right.
See, I'm King James, sir. I'm King James only.
Right.
Sir, just want to clarify my position.
Yeah.
Just in case you didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
There was a widow woman. Jesus told it in red letters. It's just as inspired in the black.
Yeah.
But he said it in the red. He said in the middle of the night, she said, she come up, she said, hey, judge, widow woman, avenge me of my adversaries. These adversaries have been taking advantage of her.
Yeah.
And the judge could fix it. And in the originals, in that received Textus Receptus, he said, looky here, ma'am. That's what he said in that original. He said, look here, ma'am. He said, I'm a judge that don't regard God nor man. Leave me alone tonight. I'm trying to sleep. She came in the midnight, ma'am.
Yeah.
She come in the middle of the night, and this is what she did.
Yeah.
Judge, widow woman here, avenge me of my adversaries. He said, I done told you once, get out from here.
Right.
Yes. Now right there is where Moses said, I guess it ain't the Lord's will and everything. I guess it's not the Lord.
Yeah.
Gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's just for a few of y'all. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I guess it's not the Lord's will. No, the devil's fighting. Amen.
Come on,
she didn't quit. You know what she did, sir? She went back over there and she said, midnight, it was way late. Hey, judge, widow woman here. He said, are you out of your mind? Ma'am, I don't regard God nor man, and you mess with me, I'll put you in contempt of court. She said, avenge me of my adversaries, because you can help me. You're the only one that can help me. Did you know some of y'all are calling everybody, texting everybody, Facebooking everybody, messaging everybody, messengering everybody, all that? You need to get a hold of God first. They can't help you. They're going to run you down when they find out how bad you are. When they find out what a mess you're in, they'll just make fun of you more. What you need to do is get a hold of God on that line. And He's there. You know what He did? Jesus said that widow, that old judge said, because of her continual importunity. She just kept coming back. He said, I'm not going to sit up here all night. I got to get some rest. My wife's, man, she's about to whoop me. And I got to get some rest. And I'm just going to go fix it. And then he said, how much more should God do for His children? And some of y'all ask one time, and if you don't see immediate results. Well, my son's on these blue pills, and he's snorting all that fentanyl. And he's on that methamphetamine, and my daughter's an drunkard. She ain't no alcoholic. She's a drunkard.
Right, right.
It's a sin. It's not a disease. I don't care what they told you. It's called a sin. The Bible never called it that. Said it's drunkenness. It's in the list of sins. You're not chemically dependent. You're a dope addict. It's not a correctional institution. It's a penitentiary.
Amen.
Hey, it's me and you, Brandon, tonight. Hey, it's not a correctional institution. It's a penitentiary. We got to get lost before we can get saved. We got to get, people's got to figure out they're hurting. Everybody's the victim. You're not the victim when you started snorting that stuff. Nobody made you. Oh, for every one that you tell me it was forced on me, I can give you thousands where that was their own choice. Amen. I feel like preaching a little bit now. I might have to sit down and rest a minute and get up and finish this thing. Y'all all right? Hey! Hey! You start praying for the boy. We just you ain't going to get it one time. That one man had been, his boy had been jumping off in that fire. He's full of the devil. He's and cutting himself with stones, jumping off in the fire. He said, this kind comes up on a prayer and fasting. You got to put a little intensity behind this.
That's right.
You got to get serious about it.
Exactly.
Amen,
exactly.
Friend. I'm going to tell you, there is a rest when you turn a situation over to God and take your hands off of it.
Right.
I don't know how to explain all that, but I can tell you it's true. When you trust God, when you just say, God, look at me, friend, before I go any further. If you could have fixed it, you would have done fixed it.
That's right.
Am I right?
Yeah.
If you could wiggle your nose like old bewitched, you'd have done it. That's for all us old people. See, I can't communicate to this millennial generation. They don't know who Hoss Cartwright is. How can a man preach to somebody who does not know who Little Joe is?
Come on.
Do you know Little Joe?
No.
See, look at you. You don't know who Hoss Cartwright is. You don't know the Rifleman. How can I preach somebody who don't even know who Gilligan is? You know Gilligan's Island? Thank God, I thought I was going to have to write you off as a gone case, friend. Amen. Stay with me a minute. If you don't know who Marshall Dillon is, you ought to get out of here. We'll go ahead and dismiss you, praise God, because I can't preach to you. If you don't know who Marshall Dillon Festus is,
amen.
God help you. Look him up on the internet tonight. That's spiritual. Amen. Miss Kitty dressed more modest than most Baptist women in church. Amen. And she is a prostitute. Is everybody listening? Just for us old people, that's all. I'm just trying to entertain you, preacher. You need a laugh. What about seeing something through? What about praying till you get an answer?
Yeah, that's good.
God help us. God wants to see people saved in church. Pray. Revive thy work. That was the prayer. It wasn't all personal. It wasn't all selfish prayers. It was revive thy work. You go to praying for God to do something right here, he'll bless you. That's the dividends of serving God. That is the byproduct of serving God. It's when you go to praying for his work and investing in his work, he starts invest. Bible said, giving it shall be given unto
that's
you.
Right, sir. That's right.
Amen. I think I've lost y'all. But I'm going to finish it. Praise God. I can see the city limit sign of closing this thing out. Praise God. Look at the text again. Chapter 3, verse 16. That I might find rest in the trouble. In that day of trouble. Now, I'm going to read you some verses. I want y'all to, this is not a trick question. But I want you to be honest with me. Now, this is his closing inspired words. He said, I'm going to find rest in trouble, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Is that negative or positive? Figs not on the tree. Help me, somebody. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. Is that negative or positive? You ain't got no grapes. The labor of the olive shall fail. Ain't got no olives. Is that good or bad? The field shall yield no meat. Ain't no corn or wheat. Then the flock shall be cut off from the fold. Going to be coyotes killing all the lambs. And then there shall be no herd in the stalls. Is that good or bad? Now listen, he was preparing himself. Because everything may not turn out just like you want it to. Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Good people go through hard times. Job, listen y'all, Job was not, hey, he was in the right relationship with God. He had the favor of God on him. The Lord told the devil, said, you've made me do all this to him. And said, he's done nothing wrong. You study out those first two chapters. I may preach on that tomorrow night. Because we need to hear that too. Bad things happen to good people. For the glory of God. He said, all this may happen, all this negative, and I want you to see it. But if you're going to find rest, you're going to have to delight in the blessings of God. He said, yet, in spite of, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Let me just stop right here. If you never got another blessing, this Saturday night crowd, I'm sure you've made a profession. There may be somebody in here lost that's never been saved. If you are, you're among friends. And you need to get in tonight. But most everybody in here has made a profession of faith.
Amen.
You know what you've got that the world doesn't have? You got a Savior.
Yes. Yes.
Now don't get excited. Y'all stay calm. Everybody stay calm now. Don't get excited. Whatever you do, don't get your hands up or anything like that. Just stay real calm, sir. Don't get excited. But you don't have to go to hell.
Right. Come on now.
In fact, you can't go to hell. I've been told to go to hell. And that was a deacon's wife said that. Y'all all right? Hey, look up in here. We can't even go to hell and we can't get excited.
That's right. Yeah, come on now.
I'm fixing to find out if UT won or lost in a minute. And I'm going to be sad or glad. But yet will I rejoice.
There you go.
Because I got a Savior.
That's right.
Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Yes. And given him a name that's above every name, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. He came into his own, and his own received him not. To as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Right.
Praise God, I got a Savior. Ain't nobody like him. Ain't nobody was ever born like he was born through a virgin's womb without the aid of a human father. Ain't nobody ever lived like he lived without one time yielding to sin. Ain't nobody ever died like he died. Y'all understand? No Roman guard, no Sanhedrin, no Roman soldier killed Jesus. You're naive. You are shallow if you think somebody killed Jesus.
That's right.
He gave himself. When he got good and ready, he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit.
Yes,
they didn't kill him. No asphyxiation, no spears in the side got him.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen, friend.
Right.
Old Mel Gibson might have meant good, but he might have depicted it pretty close. But hey, Jesus didn't die at the hands of man.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Ain't nobody ever died like he died. Ain't nobody ever got up like he got up. Ain't nobody ever got up like he got up. There's been resurrections throughout the scripture.
Yeah.
It started over there, man, Elisha and them got bowed and thrown in that grave. We know there's been resurrections. Lazarus got up, but ain't nobody ever got up like he got up.
Yeah.
He said the day when it happened.
Yeah.
Down to the ticking of the watch, praise
That's
God.
Right.
72 hours.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's
glory
right.
to God.
Amen.
Praise his name. Some of y'all could get revived. You get a little refreshment right here if you just think about it. I got a Savior.
Yeah.
His name ain't Allah. His name ain't Buddha.
Right. Right.
His name ain't Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. If that ain't Muslim, I'm a Cherokee Indian. Somebody say amen. Hey, hey, y'all all right? Hey! Hey, man! We're in a mess when we can't even get excited about our Savior. You ought to just go home. You know what you ought to do? Just get happy about being saved.
Oh, yeah.
You was condemned already.
Yeah.
You was on a slick road to hell.
Exactly right.
You was going to hell.
That's right.
How many's got saved in the last year? You got saved in the last year. Young man, guess what? A year, less than a year ago, you was on your way to hell.
That's right.
You was going to hell.
Yeah.
But you heard the gospel.
Right.
Don't get excited, son. Just stay calm. But you're only going to live, look at me, you're only going to live as long as God lives.
Yeah, come on now.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You're only going to live forever.
Yeah.
And ever.
Uh-oh.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Then he gives us strength. He said, I'm going to rejoice in the strength. He said, the Lord God, verse 19, is my strength.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to pump y'all up and blow up your heads and all that, but everybody didn't come tonight. But you did. Some of y'all been out with blow-ups all day and had to go out of town, do this, do that. You've got responsibilities. You got to wash your clothes and clean your house. You got all this on you, but you made it anyway.
That's right.
Now, don't pat yourself on the back, but you ought to just stop and say, thank God I wanted to come.
Good.
And if you didn't want to come, you ought to say, thank God I came anyway.
Right.
There's been many a time I've come and sat in my chair. I got one of them big old lazy boys. And sit down that thing. Feel so good.
Oh, yeah.
Kick my feet up.
Yeah.
I don't even watch football. I just listen. I close my eyes. And it's funny. My youngins go, don't touch that. I'm watching it. And my eyes been closed for 35, 40 minutes. But you know what? You get up. Get in the car. I've come to church. I'm talking about low as a snake's belt buckle, depressed and down, and walk through the doors and trying to put on a show. How y'all doing? Good to see you. Got the victory. And man, get in there about halfway, and they get to singing, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy. And about that first verse, I'm just... Y'all all right? I mean, y'all to learn to get ready for church. Listen to some good singing on your way. Get that track one, old Vestal, in there. God walks the dark hills, the highways and byways. Old Vestal Goodman go to singing. I feel something on it.
Amen.
Then McCamish go to singing. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. I go, praise God. I feel something on that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to go to church.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm feeling better.
Amen.
Yeah, man, he'll put some strength in you.
Amen.
You go to thinking about, yet will I rejoice.
Yes.
Just make up your mind. Praise and worship, and adoration is an act of the will. Every time you read it in Psalms, just go through the Psalms and underline every time you see it, sister, where it says, I will lift up my, I will. Not I'm going to be made to.
Amen. That's good.
Not I'm going to be forced to.
Right.
Not let's all do. I can't stand this bunch of modern churches. Uh-oh. Let's give Jesus a hand clap.
Come on now.
Don't tell me when to do that.
Yeah. Come on now.
I worship when I get ready to. And I might scare some of y'all when I do it.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Well, y'all listening? Boy, you better delight in your blessings. And then he said, he'll make my feet like hinds' feet. That's deer's feet. And them deer can go anywhere. They got 8-wheel drive. They got them cloven toes, man. They'll climb. They go up straight walls. I've traveled so many miles, man. I've run over so many deer. But most of them get out of the way. I've seen multiple thousands. Most of them get out of the way. Because he makes, you know what, hey, he'll keep you out of trouble too.
Yeah.
You ought to praise God that they've been trying to run you over for a long time.
Yeah. Come on.
Yes, sir.
He's been trying to wreck your marriage for a long time.
Yeah.
He's been trying to since you first got married. Ruin your testimony, ruin your qualifications, just bury you.
That's right.
But you've dodged him.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the devil's tried to kill me a bunch of times. I was coming home 285. Can I finish this message? Are y'all okay? And I was coming home from, I was preaching in South Carolina, and I was coming down I-20, and I got to Atlanta, I-285 bypass. And I always travel in Larry, left lane Larry. You better get out of my way. There ain't but two kind of people in Atlanta, the quick and the dead. Amen. And man, you got to be quick. And I'm coming through there. And I, with a member of my church, I said, brother, I'm going to pull over and go in the right lane a little while. I'm talking about, had no more said that than one of those light poles that's mounted in that concrete median had fallen over four lanes on 285. It's a 5-lane right in there. I got in that fifth lane and just barely missed that light pole. It would have decapitated us. We couldn't have stopped. Y'all listening? And how many untold times the devil's tried to kill me that I don't know about? I'm not trying to sound theatrical, but I've had my life threatened a bunch of times. I'm talking about, I've had people try to destroy me. I had one deacon stand with me and done this, and he said, I'm going to see that you fail. I was on my medicine that day. He was lucky. He was lucky I was highly medicated. Is everybody okay? Is everybody listening?
Yeah.
I'm going to see that you fail. Well, he went bankrupt. Died early. I'm just telling you, you ought to every once in a while just thank God that you're still here. And you got a purpose. Thank God you get to sing in the men's group. That you want to sing in the men's group. Thank God. Praise God. Thank God you come to church last night in your work clothes and then come back tonight, made an effort to be back tonight. You ought to thank God for that.
Amen.
Where's the rest of the teenagers? Where's the rest of the young people?
Yeah.
Right. Now.
I tell you where they are. They out there drinking and boozing and partying.
Uh-oh,
it's Saturday night. They cutting a rug somewhere. Living in the world.
Yeah.
Amen. You ought to thank God, praise God, that you made it. I just feel like I need to stay here a minute. That'll bring some refreshment to you. You're just tired, but you came. Amen. How to find rest in the day of trouble. Get under the right burden. Get a divine burden. Get a dictated book. Have a definite, a deliberate beckoning. Just God bless everything. God, now don't pray like that. Pray like you want. Pray specifically.
Yes.
Pray consistently.
Right.
Pray deliberately.
Yes.
And then you ought to delight in your blessings.
Amen.
Everybody in here has got enough blessings. We could spend the rest of the night just testifying to the goodness of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. We could.
Amen.
But it wouldn't hurt us to get in this altar tonight and say, Lord, thank you. While the pianist is coming, heads are bowed, we'll stand together all over the house. And if you're lost, you're among friends.
Yeah.
I can speak for this pastor. I can speak for this church. If you're lost in here, listen, don't leave here unsaved. Get saved while you can get saved. Get saved while you can get saved. He's going to conduct this invitation. But how many Christians say, I needed the message? Would you slip up your hand? That message was for me. Then as your hands up, why don't you just get in this altar and say, Lord, help us. While they